Well, I don't know about you, but I got to tell you, that was an invigorating show yesterday. At least it was for me. And I'm not sure that we came away from that show talking about speaking in tongues, the Holy Spirit. I'm sure that we came away with that with any conclusions. But the good thing is there don't have to be any conclusions. There don't have to be any conclusions. Why do we always have to, at the end of the day, by the way, the thing I was most pleased with the show yesterday is I know we don't all share that same, we don't share the same view on it. And there weren't any punches. There weren't any, nobody kicked anybody in the shins. And we discussed it, talked to it like you'd think Christians would be able to talk through. And I don't know if we ever really got an answer. Tongues are either real or they're not. I don't want to revisit it, but they're either real or they're not. And I would just say this about tongues, because I saw some comments from people said, you know, I don't speak in tongues. It doesn't really matter to me about speaking in tongues. And I would say, good, except what if that is a weapon? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What if tongues is a machine gun? If you thought it was a spiritual machine gun, would you want it? Would you be interested in it then? And I think it comes back to the whole idea that we don't understand the supernatural. The church has given up on the supernatural, except the hyper-charismatic churches. And then the hyper-charismatic churches, to most people, they look so foolish with waving their flags and dancing and blah, blah, blah. And so we think, well, I'm just a kind of a mainstream Christian. I'm a mainstream Christian. That's sick, isn't it? You're a mainstream Christian. Is that what we're called to be? Because the Bible says he wishes you either hot or cold. Because if you're just mainstream, I'm just using a different term. So if you're just mainstream, I'm going to puke you right out of my mouth. That's what it says. Why do you want to have the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the most wonderful creature in the entire universe, the creator of all things? Why do you want to be lukewarm about him? Why do you want to be mainstream about him? I don't get too far off on the left. I just kind of paddle my boat right down the middle. I go to church every Sunday. I never see anybody healed. I never see anything supernatural happen. And I just say steady. What's Forrest Gump said? Doesn't matter. Why do you want to live that kind of Christian life? Why do you want to do that? Why are we programmed and conditioned to live like that? We are. And I think that was probably the genesis of the reason why I really kind of brought the subject up yesterday. Folks, listen, I don't care if you speak in tongues. I couldn't care. It doesn't matter to me. But what if it's an atomic bomb to the enemy? What if it's an atomic bomb to the forces of darkness? See, here's what's happened to us. We have used tongues and the charismatic movement only for the advantage of Christians. We love the charismatic movement because we get stuff from it. We name it and we claim it, right? We, those who are strong, powerful, charismatic, whatever that word means, love charismatics because you get something out of your faith. If somebody prays for you and you get healed. And so that gives you a reason to celebrate. It should, reason to celebrate. And Dan, I'm good with all that stuff. I'm good with all of it. But you do know this, don't you? That the battle that's being fought not only is a battle in the heavenlies, but it's a personal battle as well. Let me give you an illustration. We have to pray for Randy Lunsford. Randy's really sick. I'll get to that in a second. you know, we spoke yesterday about our grandbaby that's coming. And the fact that Maggie appears maybe to have some complications. And I just kind of line it up with Scripture, that the baby's fearfully and wonderfully made. But yet there are others, and it's our human nature, to believe the worst. And one of the things that the doctor said was, whoever she talked to, I don't know, said, you know, there's a one-third chance, one out of three babies have this. When this happens to the mother, one out of three babies have this. And so everybody's worrying about, oh, my God, one out of the three babies. I said, stop it, will you? That means 67% don't. Two out of three don't. It's all how you look at things, friends. It's all the perspective of it. And by the way, I believe, I prayed all day yesterday that the Holy Spirit would supernaturally touch that little baby. What is it? Fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, I could believe that the Holy Spirit won't touch it, won't touch the baby. I can believe what all the medicine says and all the tests. See, I'm not, it's not hopium. It's not believe, it's not that. It's practicing faith in what God's word says. And God's word said, all things work together for good. For those who love the Lord and called according to his purpose. Now, do you love the Lord? And are you called according to his purpose? Then if you do, all things work together for good. It may not be your good, for the greater good. All things work together for the greater good. At the same time, there is the influence of evil. There's the influence of an invisible world and an invisible realm around us with an adversary who wants to destroy everything righteous. So at the same time, we are in a war, and no matter what happens, all things are going to be good. It's going to work together for good. Doesn't say everything that comes in your life is good. It works together for good. Good will come out of it somehow, some way. Who knows what that is? So all faith is really, folks, are you looking at me? Do you trust the Lord or not? That's all faith is. Faith isn't about an outcome. Faith is, do you trust the Lord to do what he says he will do? That's all. And you're going to let some doctor, because he got a blood test, tell you this is what's going to happen and that's what's going to happen. Is that really where you are with your faith? Is your faith really that shallow? That a report from a doctor? I remember that song we used to sing in that charismatic church I used to go to. Whose report will you believe? Whose report will you believe? We will believe the report of the Lord. Whose report will you believe? We will believe the report of the Lord. His report says I am free. His report says His report says I am healed. His report says victory. Whose report will you believe? Folks, look at COVID. That's all you need to see. Whose report will you believe? Fantastic video soon to be posted at Coach Dave Live again of another. Wow, what's going on? So whose report will you believe? Randy is sick as a dog. I spoke to his wife yesterday. He was laying in a bathtub, so I didn't get a chance to speak to him. He's been sick for 7 days. He has brain fog. He has a lot of stuff. I'm not calling it COVID. Nobody's calling it COVID. But Randy, our brother Randy Lunsford, needs our prayer. He needs our prayer. There's no energy. He has no energy yet. He can't sleep. Spiritual. That's what Kay said. Coach, he's fighting a spiritual battle. Who's going to pray for that right now? Who's going to take that to the Lord for us right now? Myra, go ahead. Take that to the Lord for us right now. Take Randy there.
Good morning, Saints. I want to pray for Brother Lansford. And I also want to pray for Maggie. I want to pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not unto temptation, but deliver us from evil. From thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Be healed, amen. Randy. We break that spirit of infirmity off of you, Randy, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We break that
amen.
Spirit. We pray Psalm 91 that there's no weapon that's formed against you. It's going to prosper. And every tongue that rises in judgment against you, it's going to be condemned. For this is the heritage of the Lord. We thank you, Lord, that healing is the children's bread. And Randy is one of your children. And he's hungry. Give him some bread. Heal him. Raise him up. Strengthen Kay. Strengthen Randy. We come against whatever that thing would be, that invader in his body. We break its power in Jesus' name. Lord, you said that if we would pray for the sick, they will recover. So, Lord, we just trust you and believe you to do that in Jesus' name. And, Lord, we just pray right now for that little Dobby that's laying inside my daughter, that he is fearfully and wonderfully made. And even right now, if you have to, Lord, you can touch it right now and do supernatural spiritual surgery. Touch that little guy where he needs to be touched. Do what he needs, what needs to happen to that body, that he will come out of there perfectly, wonderfully Jesus. Made, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that even in that womb, you've placed your hedge of protection around him. There will be no hurt, harm, or danger come near him. No evil is going to befall him, and no plague is going to come near his dwelling. Why? Because he dwells in the secret place of the Most High. And Heavenly Father, Jesus. He is under my covering. That baby is under my covering. And I declare him to be healed. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. We love you, Brother Randy.
Boom. Amen. We're praying for you, Randy.
Amen.
Amen. Pastor Payne, call you. Come on in, Pastor Payne, real quick.
Lord Jesus, we just thank you so very much. And your word says, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there I shall be in the midst of them. And my word of God says, wherever two or three gather in my name and agree according to my will, I shall do it. Lord, we're coming together and we agree for what Coach has just prayed in the name of Jesus Amen. Christ of Nazareth. Amen. For it is written, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Father, we pray over Randy. We pray over Meg. We pray over this baby, Lord. And we pray over the Q and everyone in it associated with us, a hedge protection, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, for no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, your word says whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. We bind the accuser, the brother. We bind doubt. We bind fear. We bind evil and all darkness now in Jesus' name, and we cast you out in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We do not rejoice over having authority over the enemy or the wicked, but we rejoice that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask you, Lord, now to loose your presence, Father, to loose your healing power, Father, that you may be glorified, Lord, that you do receive the honor and the glory and the praise, Father, for you alone are worthy. And Father, we thank you this day, and we humbly come before you, Lord, thanking you, giving you praise. And Lord, we give you the glory. We pray right now, Lord, your anointing, your presence, Lord, you neither arrive and you never depart. For your word says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I thank you, Jesus, you are with us. And I pray, Father, that you would reveal yourself to us now in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
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 So my mind's racing as you're praying. The Holy Spirit speaking to me as you're praying. It says where two or more are gathered. Right? The power Amen. Of two or more. Hey, Mark, I know this is about your teaching tomorrow. What if that is literally a power that connects? Coach, please. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. What if there's power in your prayer and just in your agreement with my prayer? What if somehow that makes an electrical connection to the Spirit of God? He says, wherever two or more are gathered, Amen. He's in our midst, right? Where two or more agree as Amen. Touching any one thing, there's power. Amen. We don't understand it, folks. We don't understand it, do we?
Sorry for jumping in. Sorry for jumping in, Coach. One can send 1,000 to flight. Two can send 10,000.
What does that mean? See, and listen, Tom, I was thinking as you were praying, the Bible says, rejoice not that demons are subject to you, but that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Don't miss that. Folks, demons are subject to you.
Amen.
It was a statement of fact. Don't rejoice that demons are subject to you. He says that's chicken feed. Rejoice that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Wow, we got so much to learn. We have been so churched, we're good for nothing. Somebody give me a thumbs up. We've been so lukewarm. We've been put on lukewarm boil and sat like a boiling egg. We've been sitting there for 50, 60 years. Some of you have been sitting there in lukewarmness for who knows how long. And the power of the Holy Spirit is readily available to us when we ask for it. It's right there. Honey, would you plug in the sweeper? And she plugs in the sweeper. Do I have to go beg her? Do I have to pray? Honey, would you plug in the blender? She plugs in the blender. What happens? It blends, right? I don't even think twice about it. But yet, is God really going to do that? Hey, God, you too busy to plug that in for me? Hey, Lord, you too busy to plug in that healing for my little grandbaby? You busy right now? Huh? We're stupid, aren't we? We're stupid. Rejoice not. Don't rejoice that the demons are subject to you. You know where that is, anybody? Jesus said that. Oh, don't go. It ain't a big deal. Of course they're subject to you. Jewish, your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Why? Because I gave you the power, man. That's where the power came from. And we walk around immersed in unbelief. Friends, faith and fear are like fire and water. You throw water on fire, it goes out, it extinguishes it. You throw fear on faith, it goes out. But if you throw faith on fear, fear goes out. You understand? So faith is, how do I say this? Faith is aggressive. Faith is a water hose. You have to put the fire out. You don't sit there in your little prayer closet and allow the devil to bombard you with fear. And that's really where it is, man.
It's Luke 10:20, coach, but also Proverbs 3 says this, that thy word is medicine that goes into your body and brings healing even unto your bones. Mm. When these prayers, when you are praying God's word, brother, that is the dose of the Holy Ghost bringing healing to Randy's body. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'll tell you this. I feel like I can confess it now. I mowed the grass yesterday. I nonstop prayed for 4 hours yesterday. Sometimes with my understanding, sometimes not with my understanding. Is anybody out there picking up what I'm saying? Nonstop 4 hour prayer. I bombarded hell. I bombarded heaven. Right? Why? Because I believe that child is fearfully and wonderfully made. That's what the word says. It says, if I ask the Lord anything according to his will, there you go. If I ask him anything according to his will, it's done. Why wouldn't he want that little baby to be healed? Wait a minute. What makes me think the baby needs to be healed? Other than some doctor told you had, just like some doctor told you had COVID. So now some doctor tells you the baby's not healthy. Now the baby doctor tells you, whose report will you believe? We will believe the report of the Lord. His report says, I am free. His report says, victory. His report says, I am healed. His report says, I am healed. Whose report will you believe? Boy, we don't have any faith. Can I just tell you the truth? We don't have any faith. Bible says if you have faith of a mustard seed. Just a little mustard seed. You don't even take much faith. But what do you do? Because listen, faith plugs into a power source. I can't wait to hear Mark tomorrow. Faith plugs into a power source. We'll say it again. Faith plugs into a power source. When you agree with me in faith, we've got double the power. And when three of you agree with me, we've got triple the power. It is something beyond our belief and understanding. Faith is not just something in your heart. Faith is a substance. Did you know that? Faith is the substance. Faith is substance. Faith is real substance. And we're plugging into real substance that we can't see. Come on in, Craig.
Yeah, coach, I would just like to be in agreement with you. I remember when my son was born, you know, all the doctors, oh, he's got a heart murmur. This is wrong. This is wrong. This is wrong. And the boy came out beautiful and wonderfully made.
Amen. Whose report will you believe? I ain't going to believe that one. I ain't going to believe that one. Thanks, Craig. Come on, Mickle. Craig Mickle, come on in. Let's do the Craigs here.
Hey, coach. You know, there's a thing that's going to really tie all this in together. We're separated by distance, but we're unified in spirit.
Okay? Well, because there is no distance in the spirit. That's the thing, Craig. There's no distance in the spirit. Go ahead.
But this is what's very profound, okay? We know infinity. There's no end to infinity, right?
Right.
But there is a mark. It where you can only cut things into so many times. In other words, you take an atom, you split it. You take an atom, you split it. Well, what they found out in science is that when you do that 43 times, 10 to the 43rd time, what they found out is it says that the actual piece of matter loses locality. In other words, it's everywhere at once. Okay, It doesn't have a point in space. It's everywhere at once. Wow. That occurs at 10 to the negative 43 zeros, okay? The scientists that found that, some of them actually took their lives when they understood the reality of what they found, okay? And that's the spiritual realm, coach. So, yes, we aren't all
okay,
together.
Okay, so let me get unified. Genesis 1:1. Pull it up there real quick, Spencer. Real quick. Come on, man. Be the man for me. hope my wife's listening. Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Time, space, matter. Right there it is. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was void without form, darkness upon the earth. God moved upon the water. God created time, space, and matter in the very first a sentence there. And here's our problem, see. We don't understand time, space, and matter. Where God is, there is no time. Where God is, there is no space. Where God is, there is no matter. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. When we get out of this earth suit, this meat suit, as Stephanie says it, we're going to go to a place where there's no time, there is no space, and there is no matter. That's what they talk. I'm not into the occult, so I don't really understand the occult. But isn't that what they do when they say that you, what's that called, Stephanie, when you cast yourself here and you end up over there? What is that called? Somebody help me.
Astral projection.
Astral projection. Astral projection. Why? Because in the spirit realm, there is no time, there is no space, and there is no matter. But we're locked in a time, space, matter continuum. That's why we can't understand the things of the spirit realm. Come on in, Jerry.
Hey, Coach. Okay, yeah. One more important thing. If you keep reading the very next verses, it says what? The first description of God is what? Keep reading. In Genesis 1.
Genesis 1 what? Where are you, Craig? What do you want me to read?
I want you to keep reading from where you stopped. Well, he created the heavens and the earth.
And the earth is void without form. And hey, time, space, and matter. And void and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. God said.
The first description of God is what? The spirit.
I got you. And the Spirit of God moved. God is the Spirit.
It's the first reference to who God's nature is. Okay.
So Craig, are you telling me that God can reach in my daughter's womb?
Oh, absolutely.
And ain't nothing, man.
Because it's we're spirit, okay? We're spirit wrapped in the flesh.
Yes.
We're not flesh. We're not flesh wrapped in the spirit. We're spirit wrapped in the flesh.
Amen, baby. Amen. Oh, if we could understand this. How many ever heard this in church? Come on in, Jerry. And Jeff.
Hey, Coach, God bless you. I'm in agreement with you 100%. You're on fire again, Coach. When you said when two or three gather and there's a power there, I'll give you a physical representation. When somebody passes and we're at a funeral and the pallbearer is bringing the casket forward, one man can't do it and two men make it easier. But six men make that casket feel like it's a feather. When there's more together, power is there.
Amen.
Goes up.
Good illustration, Jerry. Good illustration. So when you pray for Maggie and I pray for Maggie and Michelle prays for Maggie and Myra prays for Maggie and Betty prays for Maggie, like it ain't nothing, right? If we understand it, faith is substance. Wow. Jeff, come on in then, Tony.
Coach, as we walk through that IC unit every day for 3 or 4 weeks, and me, Vicky, and Pastor Bill carrying our Bibles, looking at all them people laying in them rooms on ventilators. I mean, we're in COVID city. And Pastor Bill just kept praying. You turn that, Lord, let them turn that into a sanctuary floor. And we told them doctors, the man's not going to die. God's going to heal him 100%. You think maybe them people didn't think, well, look at these nuts in here.
Sure they did. Sure they did.
And then when he lived, that doctor looked at me and said, 5 days later, after he pulled up ventilator, I said, man, he's doing great. I said, I told you, doc. He said, yes, you did. Ricky's oxygen level, he was off the oxygen the other day for 4 or 5, 6 hours. He looked at me, he said, my oxygen level's staying at 97% with no oxygen on him.
Ricky's back, huh?
Yeah.
Ricky's back. Praise the Lord. Come on in, Tony.
Hey, Coach. Not to make light of anyone's calamity, but didn't Paul say that don't be to count yourself worthy when these fiery trials come to you? And without faith without works is dead. And all this stuff about current makes me think about a battery. You don't have any flow unless that positive connects to a negative.
Amen. That's right. A positive connects to a negative. I'm listening.
Yeah. So you know, these things, they come by, and as you overcome like these things, your faith builds. And it's like, if nothing ever happened wrong, would we have any faith?
I suppose not, right? Huh? That builds our faith. Daryl, come on in.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
Good, man. Good, buddy.
So Jamie and I have had a bit of a challenging week. It was a week ago today that I was heading back from men's meeting. Pastor was out of town. Alan was out of town. I guess I was the next man at the helm there. So we had a pretty good men's meeting, and we were talking just about it. Oh, it's irrelevant what we were talking about. I took a Glock. I took it apart. I put all the parts laid out for an illustration. And I talked to people about how we're the body of Christ, talked about how each member is important. You know, we have to be up to par. We have to be ready. Anyway, good meeting. People got the message. They're not going to forget that. I'm heading home and going through an intersection, green light. Guy decides, coming the other way, decides turn left right into the side of my car.
Oh, man.
Didn't stop. He didn't swerve. He didn't hit his brakes. I'm like, something ain't right here. Basically, all I had time to do was brace for impact. And I think I might have said, seriously, seriously, I sounded like Coach. Anyway, as soon as we got off the road and pulled over, the guy admitted he did not even see me, he said. And then he continues to talk, and I let him. And he says, oh, maybe I was distracted. And then he threw his wife under the bus. Oh, I think my wife was talking to me. I'm like, well, irrelevant, dude. It was all your fault. So now we've been trying to get insurance getting on the ball here. And it looks like we're probably going to have to end up getting another vehicle, obviously. But I said all that to say, when we're down, we have to rely on each other. When we're going through things, we need to have the faith of our brothers and sisters, because sometimes in the situation we're in, we can't see how God can move. Right?
Amen.
God can take, and he can take any situation and make it good. I mean, wouldn't it be nice if we end up with a vehicle nicer than the vehicle that we had before we got hit?
Well, you're going to. Right? You're going to.
We're Amen. Standing together, and we're believing for one another for what God's going to do. We're on the outside looking in to the situations that others are in.
Yes, sir.
And we're going to stand, and we're going to believe.
Yes,
These
sir.
These things are no big thing for God. These are small things we're asking. It's just while you're in the situation, it's hard to see outside of it.
Yet they slay me, still I will praise them. Spencer, I just sent you a video. Put it up. And Pastor Tom just sent that to me. Love yet they God. Slay me, still yet will I praise him, right? Because these are all circumstances that we find ourselves in this. In this. Go ahead, Spence. Tom Gill just said it.
Good enough.
That's good enough. That's good. See, that's the fight of faith, folks. That's why the Bible tells you and me to take captive every thought. Man, if we could just stop right there and do that. If we could take captive every thought and bring it into the obedience of Christ. If somebody would say to me, you know, 67 or one third of the babies who get that, get this. Could we capture that thought and take it to the obedience of Christ? And Christ says, no, thank you, sir. But that baby's fearfully and wonderfully made. Those statistics don't apply to my child. Thank you for that. Or are you going to go home all day and thinking about, oh, my God, there's a one-third chance this is going to happen. Oh, my goodness, my goodness. It's exactly what we have done with COVID. Exactly what we've done with COVID. Amen. It's exactly. Whose report will you believe? Whose report will you believe? Now, I'm going to throw this out there. Hang on. I'm coming back up here. I'm going to throw this out. Randy Lunsford doesn't have COVID. Something was transmitted to Randy Lunsford. That's my take on it. Huh? Did you know that, folks, listen to me. Please listen to me. They have never isolated the COVID-19. They've never isolated the virus. They don't even know if it exists. Why doesn't it exist? Because it's man-made. It's a bioweapon. It is not a virus. So we're finding out now that they're sending all these people in who are getting tested. And if you've ever had any type of flu, which is a form of COVID, you will test positive. If you ever had any type of COVID flu, those antibodies are still in you. You will test positive.
Amen.
And they know it. And they continue to test you knowing the test is a fraud. Randy doesn't have COVID. Randy has some type of transmission, some type of spiritual thing that has jumped on him. And that's the direction our prayers need to go. It's a bioweapon. Oh, Lord, help us. Come on in, Betty. Then Reggie. You're muted, Betty.
Yeah. Good morning. How are y'all doing?
Good, dear.
But anyway, I want to tell you a really quick story about being pregnant. Back in the 80s, I have a really bad back. The doctor kept saying, no, you better not have a baby. You know, this is going to happen. That's going to happen.
Yep.
So I took all the precautions of not having a baby. Lo and behold, 4.5 months later, I'm pregnant. I'm 4.5 months pregnant. If God wants you to have a baby, you're going to have a baby. Then it came to when I was ready to deliver. He says, you're going to have a C-section or do something because of your bad back, or you have an 80% being paralyzed. Guess what?
I will take that chance.
If God wants me to be paralyzed, it doesn't matter if you cut me open or not. So guess what? I had a healthy baby, and I pulled through that. And that back was worse than the labor. It lasted 4 hours of back pain. And that was all because he was laying on it. But thank God and praise God, I got my boy.
Yeah, that's right. I don't believe those doctors. Hey, real quickly, click on the third thing down, Spencer. Pray for Angie. Fourth thing, the Gateway Pundit. Hey, folks. Okay, fact checking here. Fact checking. Fourth thing down, the Gateway Pundit. CDC director. There it was. Yeah, that was up there. CDC director now says new data shows breakthrough cases in vaccinated people can spread as much as unvaccinated. Folks, people who get vaccinated ain't any better off than people who didn't get vaccinated. You see this? Do you understand this? Do you understand the fear factor that they're playing upon all of us? It's unbelievable. Gunslinger, come on in there, Sam.
Hey, just wanted to tell everybody about speaking in tongues and the Holy Ghost. You can go to a website called thelastreformation.com. That's my friend Torben Sondergaard's website. And you can look on the map and find people in your city that are willing to come over and talk with you and pray for you to receive the Holy Ghost.
Wow.
Or be baptized in water or several other things. If somebody needs healed, you can look on that map and find somebody near you that'll meet with you just outside the four walls. Wow. Meet at a cafe or in their home or your home, and they'll pray for your healing. And so I just advise, if somebody is wondering at all, go meet with a real person that's close to you and see what you get. You might move to a new level in God. TheLastReformation.com.
TheLastReformation.com. Spencer, put that someplace where I'm going to find that. I'm going to check that out. You mean, Sam, not every pastor believes in the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Is that what you're telling me?
That's right. In fact, I was just preaching today on the restorers of the breach, on how the Lord's house was broken down with breaches. And we have to rise up and rebuild the places that are broken down our own faith. And there's a lot of stuff that's broken down. And I think everybody on this podcast knows that that's the state of our nation right now and the state of the American church. So, yeah, we got to fix it.
Faithless church. Thanks, Sam. Come on in, Jerry, then Reggie. Faithless church. We have a faithless church. Go ahead,
hey, Coach. I just wanted to bring up, with the roll up your sleeve, everybody has to sign a contract in order to get it. Isn't that kind of what the devil used to do when you go to the crossroads? You'd have to sign a contract to get him to do what you wanted to do. Well, when you sign that contract for the roll up your sleeve, you're giving up your free will.
That's right, brother. You're signing. Devil went down to Georgia, is looking for a soul to steal. That's what came to my head as you're saying that, Jerry. Come on in, Reg, then Tony, then Mark.
Good morning. Thank you. I wanted to go back and just make a comment on physicians. Doctors are not health experts. They aren't. They are more scientists now. And
they're drug pushers. They're drug pushers.
Yeah, they are. And so what comes out of their mouth, what does the Lord say? What comes out of your mouth is what is in your heart. They speak fear every time they open their mouth. I have rebuked them so many times to their faces. And just with my daughter, she was a one percenter. She's alive. The baby's alive. Because I told them, I rebuke you. It's not going to happen. And I speak healing into that child in Jesus' name. Amen. We have to understand the power we hold in healing.
That's fighting the fight of faith. What was it that Jim Carrey, when that girl said, no, there's only a 99% chance I'll never date you. And he said, oh, so you're saying there is a chance, right? There is. Remember that line?
Coach, they're atheists. A lot of them are atheists, and they put and the people that aren't, they're wishy-washy because they lean on science and they're
Reggie, they're not atheists. They are Christian scientists, meaning they put science above the supernatural. They put science above God. So they're Christians. Yeah, they're Christians, but here's what the science says. So they worship science more than they do God. Come on in, Tony, then Mark, then Joe.
Well, science is half-truths. That's what I always found.
Yeah.
But, you know, the enemy tries to make us fearful so that we'll speak fear. And the Bible says that we're snared by the words that cometh out of our mouth, because we can speak curses or we can speak blessings.
Yeah.
And sometimes when we're speaking the fear, we're actually causing problems to come our way.
What if that fear coming out of our mouth is fueling the dark side? Do you ever think of that, friends? What if you're sending a supernatural charge to the dark side? Not only is fear getting you, but what if you're empowering fear every time you engage in it? What if it's a vicious circle? And that you got to break that current. Go ahead, Mark. I knew you had something to say. Go ahead.
It's more than that. Imagine assembling the disease in the spirit with your words. Imagine the building blocks of that disease assembling in your child when you accept, when you receive that doctor's word.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to say something quick, Coach. Tomorrow, I'd like everyone to have a piece of paper and a pen. And the people traveling and not in video shout, I'm going to be talking about it in a way they can visualize it. Okay, so paper and a pen. We need that in the morning.
Looking forward to it, Mark. We're feeding the fear. We are empowering the fear by swallowing it, folks. It's hard for us to understand. Not if it's an electrical current. Were you ever sitting in the room? Happens to me a lot. Sitting in the room and I'm listening to something, and all of a sudden Michelle walks in and she's got something else that she's listening to. And what do you always say? What do you always say? What do you always say? Turn it down. Turn it down. So I come into the room and I'm full of faith and I'm full of fear. It's time for me to start saying, hey, honey, turn that down. You turn that down. I can't hear. Faith overcomes fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts the cords to fear. Cuts cords. It's powerless. Perfect love. Faith breaks fear. Now, wait a minute.
Amen.
You can have faith and fear if you want to. What? Oh, yeah. You can have faith and fear. You can believe fear. In fact, many of you are doing it. And see, you don't even realize that you are. We don't even realize that we are. We can either, what's the word I'm looking for? We can ever fuel faith, good, answered prayers, or we can fuel fear, negativity, calamity, bad. You have that choice every day. It's a mindset. Take captive every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now, wait a minute. What's the knowledge of God? You're perfectly and wonderfully made. That's the knowledge of God. That if you ask anything in his name, you have it. That's the knowledge of God. The devil comes to say, you're going to die. Well, rich, poor, well, you believe. That's, wow. I don't know about you. I'm seeing it so clearly, so clear. Joe, come in, then Naomi, and Larry. Go ahead.
Here's Carol and my testimony. 6-year-old child of ours goes into a coma for 3 days. Doctors couldn't find out what was wrong. A little guy about 4'5" comes out with a little bow tie and says, I know what it is, a metabolic disease. And he came out of it as soon as they gave the medication. But we thought we lost him. He died twice. 3 days in coma. Now he's 19 years old.
Awesome. Whose report will you believe, Joe? Naomi, come on in, then Larry, then Debbie.
So one of my bridesmaids for my wedding was a nurse. And she told me that at their nursing graduation, the speaker said, half the stuff you just learned is true. The other half is not. The only thing is, we don't know which half is which.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, according to the doctors, I'm 16 years plus past my expiration date because yeah. I did not listen to them.
Amen. Whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Come on in, Larry.
Yeah, what you said about our, you know, fear, does it feed the encouragement of the enemy of the other side? Well, let's think of that on the other. Let's go to the balance of that on the scales. When we encourage and when we show a lack of fear, we encourage others on our side. For example, the simple thing like putting a flag upside down. Every time I see an upside down flag as I drive across the country, I feel more motivated to keep on the course, to keep doing what I'm doing, because at least there's another person I didn't know about that believes like we do, at least in this aspect. And we need to reach out and help each other in those ways.
Amen. 1995, we went undefeated. Coach Norm's listening. I don't know if Coach Collier's listening or not. We were playing West Jefferson, our bitter rival. We were undefeated. And we weren't moving the ball very well. Halftime, we're having trouble. I couldn't figure out what was going on. We didn't have any. And at halftime, we gathered all the guys together, you know, everybody gets wild, they get around it. And while everybody was getting gathered, peeing, getting a drink of water, one of the players came up to me, one of our linemen, and says, Coach, you got to get Jason out of the huddle. I said, what? You got to get Jason out of the huddle. The guy over the top of him is kicking his butt, and Jason comes back to the huddle, and he's afraid. He comes back to the huddle, and he's just scared, and it's infected everybody, Coach. He's scared, and it's infecting everybody. Boy, I rose up and said, Max! That was his nickname. Get out of there, Coachy! Get somebody else in there for him. We put somebody else in there for him and boom, 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 right down the field 3 times and we won. Fear spreads, boys and girls. Fear has power. It impacts others. There is no fear in my heart. I won't allow it. I will not allow fear. Perfect love, Jesus Christ, belief Amen. In Jesus Christ, perfect Amen. Love. Folks, it extinguishes fear. Take captive
Amen.
Every thought. Don't let it get into your head. When you feel that fear, rebuke that. Yes, I know what your report says, but the Lord's report says this. Plug into something powerful that will extinguish that power. Come on in, Debbie.
Well, I just have to speak a second on on doctors that do believe in God. My whole career has been in hospitals and in administration, and as the medical staff person, which means I knew all the doctors. When I went to work at Covenant in Lubbock, it is the first hospital I ever went into that in orientation said, if you don't believe in Jesus, this may not be the atmosphere you want to work in.
Wow.
And all over the hospital are pictures of Jesus. They have chapels. And granted, they were started by the Catholics and Methodists. But all that being said, Jesus walks those halls.
He's invited in there. Huh? At least he's welcome in there.
Was coming out of, they were extubating him out of a little surgical procedure. His throat closed completely. And the anesthesiologist turned around and intubated him immediately, told him later, that's the first time in 30 years I've had that happen. He said, I was so glad I was standing there. He said, but let me tell you, it was not me, it was God.
Amen, dear. There's nothing more pathetic than faithless Christians. Now, listen.
Amen.
This ain't name it, claim it.
With their patients before he went in for this, his doctor and he had the best ICU nurse that said, this is a calling. It is God and me that are taking care of you today.
Amen. Faith and fear can't abide in the same heart. Rochelle, try to get a newbie in here. Then we'll get the rest of it.
Good morning, team. I almost forgot what I was going to say. I was listening. Yes, the faith versus fear thing, whatever stories we're reading or whatever we're watching, we've got to remember to filter it through wisdom and kind of ask the spirit, what's the real information here? Mm-hmm. So, you know, just for example, yesterday we talked about that they were doing away with the COVID test. So I'm like, you know, the PCR test. So I'm like, okay, well, this is working to their advantage. So why would they do that? So just by thinking and those along those lines, I looked that up and I found out that you've got Bill Gates and George Soros teaming up to buy a COVID test company named Mologic, like Molech, only Mologic. Mm. And then I also found out they've got now this fingerprint test. Somehow they use your to see if you've got COVID. So they're only doing away with it so that they can, you know, gain more power and knowledge about your. But when you think in these terms, you're ready for the stuff coming. And it's not like just more fear piling on.
Amen.
You can see it coming ahead of time. You're already mentally prepared and you don't have to be afraid. God's
out. Good.
It's not surprising
Hey, Doc, hang on, Mark. Doc Jen, listen, I just saw your comment. Can you come in and expound on that? Go ahead, Mark.
Just want to say that's good logic. Everyone should take a moment and learn for what Rochelle just explained. That's exactly how you put the dots together. And just a good lesson. Thanks, Rochelle.
Doc Jen, can you come in and expound on what you just said about that? I don't know if you can. Maybe you're not. You may not be in a position to be able to come in. I don't know if you can or not. I'll give you.
I can jump in here.
Okay, tell us what you just put in the chat there.
Yeah, so I know there was just so much in that presentation, but what we know now about the brain communicates via frequency. I believe that even these spirits hijack that frequency. So you have something that you see that triggers fear. Your amygdala is going to process that fear before you even know that there's something to be afraid of. So that amygdala is going to immediately tell you that there's something to be afraid of. If you allow that repeatedly, the amygdala actually increases in size. We have seen that now with PTSD and depression and anxiety. So if you allow this process to happen repeatedly, that amygdala gets larger. You train yourself to be afraid.
That's fabulous. Go ahead.
Wow. Yes. Wow.
And so you have to take the part where the Bible says to take captive that thought. We have to take that fearful thought that as soon as we realize it, we have to take it captive. We have to send it to the prefrontal cortex, which is going to analyze it and say, okay, there is actually something to be afraid of, or no, there's not something to be afraid of. And then we can retrain that brain.
Doc Jen, what a tidbit from the good doc. By the way, Doc Jen, are you ready? She's running for mayor of Lakeland, Florida. Doc Jennifer Rivera is running for mayor of Lakeland. That's somebody we can get behind. And what an unbelievable platform she's going to have to stand up and speak against this vaccine foolishness that's going on, this whole COVID foolishness.
Amen.
God bless Doc Jen for answering that call, brother. God bless him. Wow.
That's what we're doing in here this morning, Dave. That's what you do every day. You're doing exactly what she just said. We are training our minds to put down fear. That's why I try to get people to come in here.
Amen.
Just we build it.
Amen. I'll hire Brett one to come in. Hey, look at this. You know why I have to leave right after the show? I'm taking all the grandkids out for breakfast. Look who shows up. He knows Grampy's going to get him some pancakes this morning. Go ahead. Come on in, Brett. You wanted to say something?
Well, I just wanted to say, hey, good morning, team. And Doc Jen, what a great mayor she's going to be.
Coach. Wow.
Your team, a coast-to-coast, border-to-border, South Africa, Australia, New Zealand, you are forming that team that will stand up for Jesus. And you're right. It is pathetic, the faithless Christians and pastors that are out there.
Unbelievable.
But we're rising up. We're rising up, and we'll get in the fight. So thank you, Coach, for all you do, and thank you, team.
Faithless, faithless pastors have programmed faithless Christians, believe it or not. Hey, listen, they're not doing it on purpose. They just don't have any faith.
Hey,
we don't believe in the supernatural anymore.
Yeah. Hey, I forgot one thing. A lot of you remember the Memorial Tournament, PGA Tournament in Dublin, Ohio, my hometown.
Right.
John Rahm tested positive. Guess what? He said he got the vaccine. He tested positive again, and now he can't play in the Olympics. What a total joke.
Are you kidding me? I didn't see that. He got the shot, and oh, my goodness. Folks are lying to us.
Shame on you, PGA. Shame on you, John Rahm. Shame on you, Nick Saban. Shame on you, Ryan Day.
All right. Don't tell us your life story. Let's get Dale in there. We haven't heard from him. Hey, this, I want to end with a video, okay? Hey, Spencer, while Dale's coming in, I want you to get that video that said, I was going to read Colossians and everything. Everything I brought up, I didn't get to today. I want you to put the first one, the very first one, Chip Roy. Go ahead, Dale.
Oh, brother, listen, I just newsflash. This just came in my mail addressed to my son, Levi. Now, we've homeschooled all of our kids. Never have any of them been in public schools. This is now from the Louisiana Department of Health. This was mailed out not to the parents, but to the children about getting the shot, brother. I'm not going to go into detail and read it, but I'm going to send you a picture copy of it. This, we're homeschoolers, Coach.
Yeah.
We're homeschoolers, yet they are mailing
stuff. They're fishing in your pond, Dale. They're fishing in your pond. Yeah.
I got to stick a dynamite for that.
There you go. Let me say, I'm up against the clock here. I got two things I want to say. Get the video. I'm going to show you a video of somebody finally saying it. But listen, folks, they're driving us to civil war. There's no doubt in my mind. There's no doubt, not a doubt in my mind. The left has no fallback position. They have no exit plan, folks. They can't get out of this. They have to double down, and they're going to double down on purpose with the masks and the mandates and all that kind of stuff. Why? Because they want to create a situation where they can move the cops, the army, whatever, move them in to squash us. In fact, I also saw they finally have admitted it. Who is it? It's them white Christian boys. That's who it is. It's those white Christian boys that are doing it. They're the whole trouble. Representative Chip Roy on the floor of the House of Representatives yesterday. Somebody say amen after you hear Representative Chip Roy. Go ahead.
We have a crisis at our border. And we're playing footsie with mask mandates in the people's house. I mean, it's absolutely absurd what this body is doing, the people's house. It's an embarrassment. It's a mockery. And the American people are fed up. They want to go back to life. They want to go back to business. They want to go back to school without their children being forced to wear masks, to be put in the corner, to have mental health issues. And we're running around here, and the speaker comes down here at 10 o'clock in the morning saying, we got to wear masks in the people's house. While we've got thousands of people pouring across our border, and Democrats don't do a darn thing about it, heavily infected with COVID. We have the New York Times, okay, today. What a mess. CDC about to reverse on indoor masking for the vaccinated, quote unquote. This is some serious nanny state stuff that will only breed resentment. No kidding. Consider resentment being magnified right here on the floor of the House of Representatives. We are absolutely sick and tired of it, and so are the American people. This sham of an institution is doing nothing for the American people, nothing for the betterment of the people that send their representatives here. I just met this morning with an organization that tries to take care of people from human trafficking. Met with an elected official from Mexico while cartels are raping and pillaging and killing. And we have people infected with COVID coming across our southern border into Texas. And you all put masks up front here on the people's house. We got to go around and see, okay, we can't come to the floor. I can't execute my constitutional duty unless I wear a mask. Well, which is it? Vaccines or masks? Do the vaccines work or they don't work? Do the masks work so they don't work? I'd like to know which it is. I'd like Dr. Fauci to come down and answer a single question about natural immunity. Have you been infected with a virus? Do you have immunity? Or are they just going to go around poking people saying you must take a vaccine? Oh, but sorry, the vaccine doesn't work. You must wear a mask. This institution is a sham, and we should adjourn and shut this place down.
Amen. Finally, somebody said it,
amen.
Huh?
Amen. Shut it down.
Amen. We got it.
Amen. Shut it down. Yes.
What about that? They got the border. Amen. They got the border open and telling you to wear a mask. You tell me that's not crazy. Don Voss, real quick. Then Silver, real quick. Go, Don.
Sorry.
Go ahead, Don. We got you. He's on delay.
I'm sorry, I didn't know I had my hand raised.
Okay, man, I'll see you. See you this weekend. Silver, come on in.
Coach, I saw this yesterday. I was screaming. I mean, where is this district? I want to move there.
Because, I'm with you, brother.
I mean, you could tell he was really fighting not to cuss.
Uh-huh.
He was angry.
Yes, sir. Well, that's why I asked somebody, hey, Betty, you'll like this one. I was on the phone with Kelly the other day, and everybody said, anybody heard anything from Bill Johnson? Yeah, your state rep? Anybody heard from your – hey, folks, is your federal rep doing any fighting for you? Huh? Anybody? Are you guys hearing anything at all, these guys fighting? What is going on? I'll tell you what's going on. Pharmaceuticals are donating to all these guys. They're donating to all of them. They ain't going to stand up and speak up, try to defend you. They're all getting gobs and gobs of money from the pharmaceutical companies. They're going to lay low. They're going to play the company line, right? That's what we see going on. Roger, everybody else has been in there for Roger. Let's get him in. Go ahead.
Real quick, is seeking wise counsel fearful or a lack of faith?
No. But you have to understand the difference between wise counsel and godly counsel. They're not the same. They are not the same.
Well, then I would say this. It's seeking godly wise counsel is not a lack of faith or does not mean you're fearful.
Well, Roger, I'll give you a great example. Just yesterday, I was thinking about purchasing some. I'll tell you what it was: a paintball, a brand new paintball thing to start paintball here at Sky High as a way to raise money. So I thought, well, that's a good idea, and I pondered on it for a while, and it was a good price to buy it. But I got a hold of Alan Zeifer because I knew Alan Zeifer's daughter had done paintball stuff, right? So I wasn't fearful, but I said, Alan, can your daughter help me on this? He says, sure, coach. Here's her email. I sent an email to her, and she sent me a list of about 50 reasons why I shouldn't do it. Now, that wasn't fear. That was wise counsel taking it to a brother who brought me to somebody smart. You understand? So fear can be used in the proper way. Fear can be used in a proper way, but you can't be motivated and controlled by fear. So when I get fear, I take it to the ultimate counselor. I ask him, what about this, Father? This right here says that this is going to happen to my daughter. What is that right? Nah, don't worry about that.
But isn't the real issue on this topic at times, what if we fight fear properly, we deal with it properly, but he doesn't do what we want? See, that to me is the big issue.
Yeah, because it's not what you...
Are we prepared to handle that he is in control and all things work out for good?
That's right.
That's where I see the real problem. I don't always see that people have a lack of faith in God, the people I hang with. It's more when it doesn't deliver the way they think or it should be, that's when they're hit harder.
Well, his ways are not our, his ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts, and there's a way that seemeth right to the man, but the end results in death and destruction. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not into your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Every good and perfect gift comes from God, comes from heaven above without any shadow of turning. That's where our faith has to be.
Amen.
Because I got some hungry bellies that want to go out and have some breakfast with Grampy. God bless you. We'll see you. We'll see you tomorrow. Mark Trump up tomorrow. Don't miss it.